this morning. You had a choice, didn't you, this morning? You had a choice between coming and worshiping our Father or to stay home, go to the mall, watch TV. We have all kinds of choices, do we not? Think about going to a restaurant. They hand you a menu, and you find all different kinds of things to order and to eat. But what if you went into a restaurant and they gave you a menu, and the only thing that was there was beans and cornbread? I don't know. I'd go once in a while. But then again, maybe they wanted to change how they offered their choices of beans and cornbread. And added a few pieces of ham. What would you choose? Just the beans and the cornbread? Or the beans and ham and cornbread? God gives us choices between two ways of life and no other. Am I right? When you open up the Word, God's Word, there's two ways. God's way and the highway. The other than God's way, is the way of the wicked. And that way is fleeting, leading only to death. We should choose the way of life and delight in God's Word and in His instruction on how we should live. We read in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." We talk about choices. You know, we live in an age of options. You go to a fast food restaurant, you walk up to the counter, and you look up and you see in lights everything that they offer. You know, most people know exactly what they want when they get there. But have you ever been behind someone that can't make up their mind? For us as Christians, we might be trying to share the gospel with an individual, and we cannot understand why they have not made the decision. They're looking at different options. I actually had a Bible study with a gentleman and his wife, and his exact words to me was, "I want to see if there's any other options." How can someone that studies God's Word see that there's more than just two options, either following the Word, following God, or the path that leads to destruction? There's so many options today that it's literally confusing. You go to the grocery store, and all you want to do is walk in there and buy laundry soap. Have you noticed how many different brands there are? You remember the ad on TV some years ago? It would probably be outlawed today, but years ago it said, "Attend the church of your choice." How many choices are there? When you go into the grocery store and you see that big long aisle of laundry soap, do you simply just give up and say, well, I'll just take this one? We have choices in music. We have choices in homes. We have choices in the clothes we wear. People today even have the choice of an alternate lifestyle. You want to be a cat? No problem. We'll just refer to you as a kitten. Come on now. Ridiculous, isn't it? Oh, you don't want to be a male anymore? You want to be a female? Hey, no problem. We can take care of that. You don't want to be a female anymore? You want to be a male? Eh, we got a procedure for that. Choices, choices, choices. But in the larger picture of things, we don't have all of these choices. Yeah, I know, yes. When you go in the store, you're still going to find that big aisle of laundry soap. But in the big picture of things, we don't have many choices. God has only given us two. And Brother Don brought that out in class this morning. Two choices, that's all. When we go down the aisle of life, there's only two choices on the shelf. And that leads us to our text this morning, Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Now, it along with chapter 2 forms the introduction of the book of Psalms. It's a wisdom psalm, but it does not make a distinct appeal. It simply paints a picture of two options that we have in this life. It is left up to us to decide which of the two options we're going to choose. No one twists your arm to be a sinner. No one twists your arm to make you a saint. The choice is ours. Nobody else can make that choice for us. It is either or. We will come away with one or the other. We can't have both. Do you realize that? You cannot be a saint and a sinner at the same time. You can't go down the aisle of life and have your hands on both things. It doesn't work. So what two items are on this shelf of life? What do they look like? First of all, before we go any farther, take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at some verses there in just a little bit. I want you all to be ready when we get there. Verses 1 through 3, we see the instruction of the Lord. Psalms 1, 1 through 3. Look at what the person that chooses this looks like, the one that chooses the instruction of the Lord. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. We see in verse 2 that he's blessed. He does not hang out with the wicked. The word there, when he talks about sitting in the council of the ungodly or standeth in the way of sinners, literally is standing. It literally means to go up before. It's your dwelling place. He delights in the Lord, in the law of the Lord. It's his joy and his desire. His delight, his joy, his desire is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. Then we read in Psalms 119 and verse 54, thy statutes, thy law, have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Literally, the statutes of God becomes our joy. How many times have you perhaps been kind of down and depressed a little bit, and you start singing a song? Doesn't that song lift you up, especially if it's a hymn that we sing when the congregation is together? We delight in it. It's our joy. God's statutes should become our joy in life. What's the result of all of this? Psalms 1, chapter 1 of verse 3. What is the result of delight in the law of the Lord? Psalms 1 and verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whosoever and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's saying that this man is going to be like a tree. A tree that is planted by the streams of water. What we need to understand about this tree is that this tree has been cultivated. It's been cared for. It's been looked after. How many of you have ever planted roses? What do you do with a rose plant? Don't you have to care for it? Look after it? Water it? Prune it? You take care of it. And if you do, what do you gain? The beautiful rose that the plant has brought forth. Because you have taken care of it. The same thing is those who delight in the law of the Lord. They're like those that are planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. His leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. When we delight in the law of the Lord, then we are like that tree. We're cultivated. We're cared for. We're looked after. Think about yourself being a tree that's cultivated. And you know, and every once in a while, that tree needs to be pruned. Doesn't it? Y'all remember the maple trees out in front of the building here? What did we have done a couple years ago? We had them trimmed. Why? To keep them vibrant, to keep them growing. And the same thing is true with our lives as Christians. If we don't keep the law, if we don't keep God's word, if we fail to read, if we fail to study, then we're going to become something that is not going to produce what we're meant to produce. Think about this tree. Think about the care that this tree receives, because his delight is in the law. But then, what about the other choice? The first choice is that of the law. The first choice is that of God's Word. So what's the second choice? The choice, we could say, of the wicked. Look at what the psalmist here says the wicked are. Verse 4. The ungodly, the unrepented sinner. The ungodly are not so. They're not like that planted tree by the water. They're not like the cultivated tree that gains its nourishment from the Word of God. It's like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You know what we've done with all the limbs that we took out of the maple trees in the front? They were thrown away, ground up, because they become worthless. And this is what the psalmist here is saying. Those, the ungodly, those who do not live by the law of God, they're like chaff. You know, the word there, chaff, is literally means pressed out. It is the waste. It is those things that are worthless. And what a contrast between the living tree planted by the water and the waste that is discarded. What choice? What choice do we make? You know, when we go into the store to buy things, there's many choices. But in life, there's only two. The way of God, the way of righteousness, and the way of ungodliness and sin. Those are the only two choices that we have. Look, Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall not be likened to the foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Do you see here? Two choices. We can either build on the Word of God, or we can build on the Word of man. Which one does Jesus say is going to stand? It's the one that built upon the Word of God. It's the one that built upon the rock. We need to make wise choice. The alternative choices that the world says that we have, there's no future. There's no substance. There's no life. Look at Psalms 1, verses 5 and 6. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Again, two choices. We have God's way, and we have the ungodly way. And it says here that the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Sinners are not going to make it. For the Lord knoweth the ways of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There's no other choice. But sadly, most will not choose God's instruction. Sadly, most will not choose the law, the word. We read in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. But strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, the thing about these two paths is one is very broad. It's an easy path. There's a lot of people on that path that will help you. But the alternative, the narrow path, there's not going to be very many people. And even on that path, there will be those that will help you to stay on that path. Again, sadly, most will not choose God's instruction. They will blindly go down the broad path with their blinders on, steadily plodding along without care, without worry, without wisdom, without understanding. And that path leads to destruction. But on the other hand, the narrow path, it leads to eternal life. Which items are you walking away with today from the shelf of life? One way makes you a fruitful tree in God's garden. The other makes you dead chaff that will literally just be swept away. Jesus came to give us life. Jesus came so that we might have the forgiveness of sin. Jesus came to give us the second choice. Before, there was only one. But since Christ came and died on the cross, a second choice has been given to mankind. That of living faithful or living disobedient. That of being on the narrow path or being on the wide path. Choice is ours. Which path are you on today? The only person that can decide that is you. If you're on the broad path and you need to switch over to the narrow path by obedience to the gospel and being baptized and having your sins washed away, would you come? Or if you're here and already a child of God, but perhaps see that maybe you've gotten over on the wrong path and you like the prayers of the saints, would you come also as we stand and sing the song of invitation?